Welcome to worship at Prairie Street Mennonite Church. We especially welcome visitors among us. Everyone is welcome here and embraced by the God who gives us life and renews our spirits.
Please turn in the green, sing the journey hymnal to number 22. By the waters of Babylon. And those who are able, please stand.
Please turn in your blue hymnals to number 679 for the call to worship. Holy Spirit, creating presence, as in the beginning you hover over the waters, you breathe life into all creatures. Without you, every living creature dies and returns to nothing. Holy Spirit, Comforter, by you we were born again as children of God. You make us temples of your presence. You pray within us prayers too deep for words. Holy Spirit, Lord and Giver of life, you are light. You bring us light. You are goodness and the source of all goodness.
Come, Holy
Holy Spirit, breath of life, you sanctify and breathe life into the whole body of the church. You dwell in each of us and will one day give new life to our mortal bodies. Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Sovereign Creator of earth and sky, Savior always with us, Spirit sweeping over the waters, renew our hearts today. Surround us with grace. Fill us with wonder and awe, so we may honor you with our gifts of love and praise and worship you with our whole life. Amen.
And please turn in the blue hymnal to number 36, God of Our Strength. And those who are able, please stand. And in the same hymnal, number 229, Lord, You Have Come to the Lakeshore. We'll sing verse 1 in English, then verse 1 in Spanish. Then we'll jump over to verse 3 in English, and then 3 in Spanish.
Thank you.
Let us now become quiet in the spirit of confession. Let us pray. O God, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen, you place us in your creation, and you call us to care for it. Your works declare glory and splendor, and you call us to praise and reverence. Where we have degraded or destroyed earth's bounty, forgive us. Where we have taken beauty and majesty for granted, have mercy upon us. Where we have become estranged from the creatures with whom we share this planet, grant us your peace. Renew us in the waters of baptism, refresh us with the winds of your spirit, and sustain us with the bread of life. In the name of Jesus Christ, and for the sake of the new creation, we pray. Amen. Please stand and receive these words of assurance. From Psalm 103. Brothers and sisters, our God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. As far as the east is from the west, so far God removes our transgressions from us. Let us now extend Christ's peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you. Children are welcome to come to the front. Josh Kinder has something for us today.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all here. First, let's pass this offering basket around. And you can put an offering in it or touch it with a blessing. All right. Well, this morning, I'm excited because we're going to hear about wilderness. And in the Gospel of Mark, we're going to hear that Jesus, one time, went into the wilderness. He felt driven into the wilderness. And then the Bible says that Jesus was out there with the wild animals. And I want to share that this summer I went and traveled to some wild places and I saw some wild animals too. I went to Colorado and to New Mexico and Arizona and Utah and California. I saw a bunch of animals, and I saw a bunch of plants, too. Things were a lot different out there. So up behind me, you see a bunch of sheep in this picture. Those are bighorn sheep in Utah. I was just driving into the national park about 7 in the morning, and all of a sudden, I saw these sheep, and I stopped my car, and they walked about 3 feet outside my window. So we waved hello, and they went on their morning walk. And that was really cool. I'd never seen bighorn sheep in the wild before, or even that close. And then there was another place. I found a place called White Sands, and it's in New Mexico. And it's a place where the ground is totally white, and it's made out of sand. I've never seen so much white sand before, and it just goes on and on and on. And because the ground is white, all of the animals are white too. So there was a little white lizard that was really hard to see unless you knew what to look for. So I saw a white lizard in New Mexico. And then when I was in California, have you ever seen the cartoon with Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner? I saw both of those. I saw a jackrabbit in the desert, and I saw a roadrunner on the road in front of where I was staying. It was really neat. They didn't even look like cartoons. They looked like, it was really cool. And then I was in the desert, and there's no real big trees in the desert like we have here. There's cactus. So I saw cactus everywhere. And some cactus is really, really sharp, and you have to be careful. And some cactus, you can actually eat it. So cactus isn't all sharp and mean. And I saw palm trees, too, in the middle of the desert. It was kind of weird to be in the middle of a desert, and then all of a sudden there's this thing called an oasis, and a big palm tree, really green and lush. So I saw all kinds of wild things. But there were also times when I was really scared. I was alone, and I slept outside sometimes. And I'm going to tell a story about a couple times when I was really terrified out in the wilderness. I thought I was going to die. I didn't know if I would make it back home safe. I was at the top of a big dune, and there was a storm that came in, like a rainstorm. And I was outside. I didn't have anywhere to go to seek shelter. And then sometimes I was in the desert, and it was so hot, and I got scared that I would get too thirsty and pass out. Or I was just scared that it would never, ever cool off, and I would just be so hot for the rest of my life. It was kind of scary. So I think that when Jesus went to the wilderness and was with the wild animals, like Jesus probably had cool stories like this, right? Saw cool animals up close. But I think maybe Jesus got scared too. It says he was in the wilderness for like 40 days. I was only in the wilderness for like 25 days, and I got terrified. So I bet Jesus got terrified too. But the Bible says that angels came to help him in the wilderness. And I feel the same way. So going into the wilderness, we get to learn that God created a world that's scary and beautiful, and that God loves us and is with us, even in the scary and beautiful places. And I think that's really cool. Let's pray. God, you created everything, even us. Thank you for all of the wild animals. Thank you for all of the wild plants. They are amazing, all of their shapes and sizes and sounds and smells. Thank you for giving us time on this planet that we can spend to be with your wild creation. Thank you for being with us all the time, even when we're terrified. Watch over these children as we go from here today, because you love them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.
Hosea 5:13. To chapter 6, verse 3. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, and Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to the great king, but he is not able to cure you or heal your wound, for I will be like a lion to Ephraim and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will carry off, and no one shall rescue. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face. In their distress, they will beg my favor.
Cuando Efraín vio su enfermedad y Judá reparó en sus llagas, Efraín recurrió a Asiria y pidió la ayuda del gran rey. Pero el rey no podrá sanarlo, ni tampoco curar sus llagas. Yo seré como un león para Efraín, como un cachorro para Judá. Yo mismo los haré pedazos, y luego me alejaré. Yo mismo me llevaré la presa, y no habrá quien me le arrebate. Volveré luego a mi morada, hasta que reconozcan su culpa. Buscarán ganarse mi favor. Angustiados me buscarán con ansias.
Come, let us return to the Lord, for it is he who has torn, and he will heal us. He has struck down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His appearing is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us like the showers, like the spring rains that water the earth.
Vengan, volvámonos al Señor. Él nos ha despedazado, pero nos sanará. Nos ha herido, pero nos dará vida. Nos ha herido, pero nos vendará. Después de dos días nos dará vida. Al tercer día nos levantará, y así viviremos en su presencia. Conozcamos al Señor, vayamos tras su conocimiento. Tan cierto como que sale el sol, Él habrá de manifestarse. Vendrá a nosotros como la lluvia de invierno, como la lluvia de primavera que riega la tierra.
Mark 1:12-13. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him.
De Marcos 1:12-13. Enseguida el Espíritu lo impulsó a ir al desierto. Y allí fue tentado por Satanás durante 40 días. Estaba entre las fieras, y los ángeles le servían.
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
I invite Josh Kinder forward, our preacher today and a member of this congregation. Let us pray. God of sacred stories, bless the stories Josh shares with us this morning. May they deepen and renew our understanding of you and your beloved creation. Amen.
Immediately, I heard a sound I had never heard before. First, the squeal of a frightened squirrel, then the low grunt of something entirely more massive. The bear seemed to tumble down the 20 meters of the low canyonside as if it hadn't expected the land to give way so suddenly. I saw, I turned, and I walked away the way I came. 20 paces, then turned to face the moment. She pounced toward me, just a single bounding step, and then turned to face her cub. A very small and very cute brown bear gave a cry almost human in tone, and the two walked across the bed of the middle fork of the Gila River to the slope of the other canyon side. A second cub wailed for some time at the top of the opposite slope, then found a way to rejoin its family. I stood and stared, and I shook a bit. Just 10 days prior, I had been crying for my life, clinging my body to the top of a 700-foot-tall sand dune at the foot of the Sangre de Cristo Mountains, just a few miles from one of the four mountains held sacred by the Diné. A sudden squall had blown into existence, seemingly out of nothing, in some dark pre-dawn hour. A breeze, then a sprinkle of rain, and then calm. In my tent, I scrounged for the rain fly, then quickly went out and tied it on. Immediately, as I zipped the door shut, a massive wind roared down the dune behind me, then up and into my tent. My tent flattened and threatened to blow away with me in it. Particles of sand whistled through the tent mesh and piled inside. It all sounded so powerful, and angry. I began shaking and weeping uncontrollably, clinging to the dune as if it could comfort me. The eternity of the storm lasted some 3 minutes, and then calm returned. As soon as it was light enough to distinguish the dark dune from the dark sky, I struck my tent and bolted down to my car. As the dawn came on, another low gray cloud came by, sprinkled the parking lot, and left a fire-gilded rainbow in its wake, all lit up red by the rising sun. The evening and night prior had featured other kinds of light shows. After lounging in the shallow, sun-warmed meltwaters of Medano Creek, I ascended the great dune and pitched my tent. There, sitting at the top, I watched as the day began to close on the beautiful blue sky above. Directly in front of me, a panoramic vista of the Sangre de Cristo range, tinting seductively into deep purple hues in the fading light. Directly behind me, 30 square miles of dune field, barren, beautiful, and bowing down to the sun. After sunset, I saw thunderheads flashbang across the mountains. Strobing with lightning, thunder in their throats, the storms went on for an hour or more in the distance. Well into the night, I left my tent to look up at the glittering millions of stars in the peaceful sky. The beauty of those views from my campsite was overwhelming. Waves of pleasure washed over me, and all I could do was smile and watch them on their way. While I was standing and watching the bear and her cubs from across the river, I trembled lightly, partially out of fatigue, mostly out of adrenaline terror. My thoughts raced in a tight loop around this center. I cannot believe I am this close to a bear in real life. I cannot understand how I am alone in this canyon with a bear. As the minutes wore on, no other hikers coming from ahead or from behind, the bears not moving very far up the opposite slope, my staring turned more into gazing. My thoughts began to dance around a new center. I cannot believe how beautiful they are. I cannot believe how perfect this moment is. The sight of them felt pleasurable to me, like someone was kissing me and touching my hair. Finally, I dared to pass them and hike on to the hot spring I had wanted to visit. After bathing there a while, I returned up the canyon. Passing the site again, the bear startled up out of a nap, and the mother turned and stared me down as I carefully, gratefully walked past. In the wake of those moments with the bear, in that adventure on the great dune, I came to see that beneath the surface of the terror I felt, there was something I can only call peace. And at the bottom of the rushing pleasures I experienced, there was a perfect stillness. There was peace. I felt the peace of my terror and the peace of my bliss. And I recognized that the two of them comprise the same infinite truths, that I and the world are being created with fear and wonder, that God loves me, that God loves all of me, that God desires passionately and constantly to be with me here and now. Further up the canyon that day, on my return trip, I heard a crash in the trees ahead and soon came upon a party of horses and riders. They were stopped because one of their animals had caught a tree branch in its chest and now had a flap of skin the size of my hand hanging there, bright red, like a flag. The sight made me think of the prophet Hosea writing in chapter 13, I will fall upon them like a bear robbed of her cubs and will tear open the covering of their heart. Hosea had a thing for large mammalian predators, portraying God as a mother bear and as a devouring lion. Hosea has God tearing people apart, carrying their bodies away in its mouth. This portrayal of God is one that stays with you, alternately troubling and comforting, dissonant and resonant. It's not even a question, it's an assertion. Hosea's not asking, why would God ever tear someone apart? Hosea has God's own mouth declaring, I will tear you to pieces. I will leave you to die. I will go and I will hide from you. As I began to spend my days on the road away from home this past summer, I had time to look back and see how brutal the previous 9 months had been for me. In the fall, one of my students fired a gun at a house in my neighborhood and killed a mother inside, whose daughter also attended my school. In December, Ross left and left us reeling. Then came Alan's diagnosis. The spring semester of teaching was a complete disaster. The school and my classroom were a place of strife, hopelessness, and incredible stress. I felt like a failure as a teacher, and I felt guilt for the ways that I allowed my negative emotions to be directed towards students. Then reeling again after losing Alan. As the school year ended in June, I was exhausted in body and in soul. I felt torn apart, like the fabric of my world was frayed, like someone was ripping it, like I was trying to run while a pack of wolves finally brought me down. I began to feel unknown by God. I thought that God was not close enough to me to understand my state, that God could not see me in the darkness on the edge of town. I was too exhausted to find the courage to face my wounds. I was too exhausted to find the courage to bring them to the cross, the courage to leave them there. Instead, I felt driven to run away, to adventure into unknown places, to travel and to put myself in danger. I needed to be woken up. I needed to feel alive again. I needed to be put back together. I needed to be somewhere else until I was ready to return. I wanted to see the big, dry, carved-out canyons. I wanted to see what a river can do if you give it the time. I wanted to find water in my desert. And I wanted to learn what plants and animals do in a place where it never seems to rain. As I traveled through western Kansas into Colorado, I began to notice images of Our Mother of Guadalupe. I saw her on a billboard. Then I saw her on someone's mailbox. Then I saw her in old adobe mission churches in northern New Mexico. It was in those churches, especially in the San Francisco de Asis Mission Church near Taos, that I began to realize that these images were carrying the presence of God into my journey. I felt a divine mothering presence accompanying me in that sanctuary. And I continued to feel it as I entered the wilderness where I saw those bears. So I took the time to learn some of the tradition around Our Mother of Guadalupe. I read how she appeared to Juan Diego on a hilltop in Mexico. I read how she spoke in Juan Diego's native language, how the bishop nearby didn't believe that the mother would have appeared to Juan Diego, a native, how God produced the mother's image on Juan Diego's tilma. I began to understand some of the power of this tradition, some of the reason why so many make the pilgrimage to her shrine on that hill in Mexico City. The claim that God was present in New Spain, that God already knew Juan Diego's language, that God wanted to be and was already here in this land. The mother posed this question to Juan Diego, No estoy yo aquí, que soy tu madre. Am I not here, who am your mother? Now this question stopped me dead in my tracks. I was overcome by the presence of Mother God. I began shaking and weeping and praying there in that mission church. God was with me there in my darkness. God already knew how to speak my language. God could understand how I put my words together, where the words were coming from. God could read the erosion, the geology of my canyon heart. And God was already the first one to ever navigate my churning whitewater pain and exhaustion. In Tucson, staying with friends in the blistering desert heat, I learned that the victim of a shooting murder near River Run Apartments here in Elkhart the week before was Daquan Graham, a former student of mine. He was in one of my very first classes at Pierre Moran. And I had run into him a few times since then and was looking forward to seeing him graduate this coming spring. When the paper published his name, I didn't know how to handle the news. I was having an amazing weekend in Tucson, meeting new friends and seeing interesting parts of that city after adventuring through New Mexico. And then here's this load of pain that I don't know quite how to share. I don't know what words to use in talking about it, and I don't know that it helps at all to try to get others to bear it with me. That Sunday in Tucson, I walked to a breakfast spot and passed a home whose fence gate was painted with Our Mother of Guadalupe. And beside that gate was a Black Lives Matter sign posted in the yard. I stopped to take a picture, and the image stayed with me as I drank my coffee. Here was Mother showing up again. Here she was, speaking my language. Here she was, right beside me as I was walking with this dreadful news. And I felt such peace, I felt such comfort, I felt so supported, like no matter what, there was nothing anymore that could knock me down. As I came to the end of my journey, staying in the desert near Joshua Tree, California, the presence of God seemed to crystallize into a three-word lesson. Hold your ground. Hold your ground. The way the bear and I just stood there for a while. The way that I was clinging to that dune. The way I came to recognize that God isn't hiding somewhere far away, but is absolutely present around me and in me and under me. God is the ground of my being. God is the rock. God is the root. God is the road. Hold your ground. Hold your ground. Hold your ground. I can see now that this mantra is an echo of Hosea's admonishment. He writes, Come, let us return to the Lord. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. I left my home with open wounds. I went out to be closer to creation in the hope that in doing so, I would feel closer to Creator. I felt the peace beneath despair, the peace beneath my pain, the peace beneath my pleasure. And I was transformed. I was given this lesson to teach, hold your ground. This is the knowledge of God that I was pursuing, that God is with the world all the time, that God is with me all the time. The knowledge that God already speaks my language. God already knows my songs and the pain they carry. I became convinced that God knows the fullest depth of misery, that not even my deepest pain is enough to confound the Creator. And I became convinced that it is worth risking death in order to know God more fully. And I began to give thanks for the lives and deaths of my brothers when I realized that our fullest knowledge of God will come in our dying. Healing and hope are the mission of God, but even greater than these is God's work of undeniable presence in every moment, unbearable love, and inexplicable peace. So here I am, preaching here for my family for what we're calling Wilderness Sunday. I went to the wilderness because I didn't know what else I could do to find God again. The Gospels show us that time in the desert was part of Jesus' search for fuller knowledge of God. I think it should be part of ours too. We don't have to go to the Sonoran Desert. We don't even have to go to a state park. We just need to make the time to hold our ground. In my backyard, there are probably 100 species, and God is fully present in every one of them. We should go to the wilderness when the darkness overwhelms us. We should share our wilderness stories with each other. We should testify of God's loving and dangerous presence in our lives. We should remind each other that when our worlds are torn apart, when all is lost, we can collapse on holy ground. In Tucson, Karima told me how the monsoon was coming, how soon she would watch the clouds gather in the afternoon, and how soon she would smile in the rain. She will come to us like the showers, like the spring rains that water the earth. About 3 weeks after I left, she wrote to me in an email, "A little more than a week after your departure, the rain came. It has stormed or rained almost every day. Bugs are coming inside. Big storms wash through. Roads are flooding. Swamp coolers are no longer working. But the temperatures aren't as high. It's a really wonderful time in the desert now." Amen.
Please turn in the purple, sing the story to number 50. We'll sing through it once, and then please join in after that. And you'll know what language we're singing by the cue that you receive. And the words, the pronunciation for the Dzogchen language is at the bottom, if you'd like to follow that when we sing those, sing in that language.